Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This show's a daily contest to see who's dumber.
You ain't got no class like me, man. I'm an aristocrat.
We apologize. This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
They're not like us. They're not like us. They're not like us.
This isn't the Oprah Winfrey Show. My feelings don't matter.
Mark Hockman.
I have this fantasy of becoming obese and bedridden and having people bring me food.
What's your favorite pasta? The gabagool?
Channing Crowder.
I just got an insufficient funds text. I might not be able to buy no beer tonight. I lost my virginity watching Bill dance.
Google me, bro.
Alejandro Solana.
So Billy the Marlin isn't a bird? I'm basically a professional kayaker.
Sports.
I used to hang out with Chris Volstead.
Okay.
I would just like to confirm I am wearing underwear today.
You know what else is great all the time, doesn't matter what the scenario? Bagpipes.
Finish your damn string cheese.
Jimmy Jewelry.
More sports.
Come on, repeat after me.
Here comes the Blackfoot.
The most sports.
Jimmy, you've never had an injury?
No. I stretched.
The Hockman and Crowder extravaganza begins now.
Jimmy Butler still on the Heat?
He's on the roster.
In name only. Do you think he will be a member officially of the Miami Heat by the time the end of this show rolls around, 6 p.m. tonight?
Yes.
Yeah, no, I mean, Shams was just on ESPN saying, like, they're not even close. So, yeah, I think he will be. I think he'll be a member of the Heat to complete his two-game suspension. As I said yesterday, I think this is going to take a lot longer than people expect.
And me and Solana have the same insider, because that's why I was so adamant about it, because I saw Shams on ESPN.
I watched him too, though, and I got the exact opposite feel.
Oh, really?
He said,
I'll tell you why.
Bro, he said it could be five teams involved.
But he was on with McAfee, and a couple times he looked down on his phone. And McAfee said to him both times, hey, is there anything you want to let us know right now? And he said, no, not yet. So what I took from it was that before Shams went on with them, he told McAfee or the producer or whatever, hey, I might get some Jimmy Butler breaking news during this segment, just so you know, I'm giving you a little heads up. And I think they gave McAfee a heads up. And there were a couple times where McAfee's like, oh, is there something you need to tell us? And both times he said, no, not yet. So yeah. I think it's closer than he led everyone to believe. I don't know. What do I know? I know that I bet money on Victor Wembanyama. The game's about to tip off in France. I'm so excited. I love a little in-show action. So I parlayed. I brought down Wembanyama's lines because my thought is they're probably inflated, right? Because he's playing in France, so everyone assumes he's going to have a quadruple double, like 100. He's going to have a quintuple double. So his points total was like 28.5. I brought it down to 24.5, and his threes total, I think, was 3.5, and I brought it down to 2.5. So I parlayed those along with Duncan Robinson over 2.5 threes made tonight. So it's a three-leg parlay, only pays plus 153, but it's the Wemby stuff that I bought down and hoping that Duncan Robinson can just bring it home tonight with a few threes against who they have tonight? Milwaukee. So get this game underway.
Funny.
France. Viva la France.
Funny horses to attach your cart to, Hawk. To Wemby and Duncan.
Wemby and Duncan. I got the Wemby Duncan parlay working. It is wild watching this Jimmy Butler stuff play out in real time. Sham said on McAfee's, like, you're watching a divorce play out in real time, and we all get to watch it. Yeah. You know, we've all had relationships that go bad, and they go bad, and then it accelerates usually at the end how bad it gets. It's okay, we're kind of in agreement that this isn't working, and by the end, nobody's in agreement on anything. Everybody just wants to one-up the other person.
Yeah,
you're watching it play out in real time. Makes it interesting because usually this stuff is mutual. Usually someone wants to leave a team. Like I can recall several instances in the NBA where, you know, a player maybe is gone from the team for a week or two. It's a mutual decision. He's not going to suit up. I don't know if that's what happened with James Harden. You know, he's not going to suit up. We're going to find a suitor. And it's kind of this mutual thing. There is nothing mutual about what's going on with the Heat and Jimmy Butler. I think Shams said it. I mean, two of the biggest alpha dogs in the NBA, mm-hmm. Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley. And both of them have done enough in their careers and earned enough in their careers that they can say F you. Pat Riley doesn't have to, you know, it's what we talked about where, you know, does Jimmy Butler need to prove something or no? And does Pat Riley need to prove something by finding an easy, tenable solution for the both? No. And so they're both alphas and they're both entrenched and we're just watching it play out.
When I heard it, when it was like it's two alpha males going at it, I'm thinking about it like in that situation, like in the wild, those two male lions are big gorillas that meet each other in their territories. Sooner or later, they have to fight. Like, at some point, I'm beating my chest, you're beating your chest. Now we got to jump on each other. Obviously, Pat and Jimmy can't jump on each other. So now they're just trying to throw the biggest punch in the world to show them who the bigger man is. And that's, I suspend you. Well, I ain't showing up to nothing. Well, I suspend you again. Well, I'm going to go out here and not smile and listen to the coach. Well, I'm going to suspend you again. It's silly, but it's funny.
Because there's times, you know, a younger team president or someone who didn't have all the accolades that Riley has might have to be more concerned with team chemistry. How is this affecting Bam? How is it affecting Tyler? How is it affecting Spo? Pat Riley doesn't have to care about any of that. He's in such a unique situation with this. He doesn't have to worry about, well, what if this stunts Tyler's? Doesn't have to worry about any of it, and neither does Jimmy Butler. It really is one of the greatest standoffs that you'll ever see. I mean, Butler, he's made it clear, I want to go to Phoenix. And Pat Riley's in no rushes to do any favors to Jimmy Butler. And if that means there's collateral damage, he don't care. It's funny.
If this were happening anywhere else, other than maybe like two organizations, Jimmy would have either a long time ago been given the extension or traded by now. Period, end of story. They would have just moved the player. We can't have this looming over the organization.
We can't have that headache.
Right.
We can't withstand that because we're not the organization that the Heat is.
Pat Riley's job security is at no point being questioned right now by Mickey Arison and the Arisons. So, okay, Jimmy. Like, all right, let's see. Let's see how long you can keep this up. We'll see how long I can keep this up until I get what I want out of this situation.
And to this conversation, I said it a week ago, the person stuck in the middle getting the short stick is Eric Spoelstra having to deal with this on a game-to-game basis.
True.
But the thing with Tyler and Bam, though, hey, man, go play ball. Like, go play ball.
And
you know, that's all I'm going to tell them.
Spo's not in any danger of losing his job. He's a Hall of Fame coach. Go coach. Hey, this is good. You know, out of however many years you're going to end up being the Miami Heat's coach, we're going to look back on this one day and laugh. So, like, everyone's in a good spot to keep their battle going. Usually someone has to give an inch. In this situation, no one has to give an inch.
I'll say, though, Crowder, this is kind of usual territory for the Miami Heat and Eric Spoelstra in the Jimmy Butler era. Guy was missing games left and right for the past couple of years. I'm not saying you're wrong because Spo has to, and you know, he goes to shoot around today. They make it clear. I'm not answering questions about Jimmy. He comes to the mic before games. I know what you guys want out of me. I'm not going to give it to you. Like, Ira Winterman tries his absolute hardest to get info regarding the situation. Spo's too smart to get any sort of like headline clickbait stuff. But as far as like on the court, bro, Jimmy Butler hasn't played more than 65 games once in his Heat career. So like he's just used to.
Like, I'm not doing anything different.
Hey,
I'm going out there and coaching this team where sometimes Jimmy's there, sometimes he's not.
Hey, Jaime, 22's not here, so you're starting today.
Yeah,
I'm just looking yesterday. They get on the plane. Okay, plane leaves 11:45. It's 12:15. No Jimmy. Now Spo has to. Okay, well, Jaime at the 3.
right, exactly.
Just, you know,
yeah.
Just
like. And also, can I get a Perrier? Like, yeah, just no big deal. Like,
yeah.
Here, speaking of Ira Winderman, here are the scenarios he laid out in the Sun Sentinel. Ira says this can all end in one of these possible outcomes. Okay, there's 6 or 7 outcomes that Ira says. This is in the Sun Sentinel. A Butler win by the deadline. This would get Jimmy Butler to the Phoenix Suns, his preferred destination, seemingly if only because of the expectation of a maximum contract extension from the open checkbook of owner Matt Ishbia. What is it? Ishiba?
What's his name?
Ishiba. A Heat win. And Ira also says, barring the Suns dealing Kevin Durant or Devin Booker, the only way to get that deal done would be to involve Bradley Beal, who we all know holds the well-chronicled right of first refusal on any trade. Option number 2 from Ira, a Heat win by the deadline. This would be a deal that would meet the Heat's priorities of contributing level talent with contracts that do not run beyond 2025-2026, when the deals of Duncan Robinson and Terry Rozier expire, as well as draft capital to restock a depleted supply. Technically, Butler could torpedo any deal beyond a landing spot of his choice by threatening either to not extend or by threatening to invoke his player option in June and clog the team's salary cap. Option number 3, rolling suspensions. The Heat seemingly have no lack of arguments when it comes to Butler's behavior, both in the gym and beyond. Whether or not such suspensions without pay ultimately would stand up the appeals process, such an approach nonetheless would defer resolution until after the season, as the escrowed funds sit in an interest-bearing account. Option number 4, pay not to play. Those involved in the process have reiterated the disinclination of owner Mickey Arison to pay a player in the range of $500,000 a night not to play. While players have the right to insist on being in uniform on game nights, coaches are not obligated to offer minutes. While that could present the ultimate bench distraction, Butler's side appears amenable to remaining away while the check rolls in. That would be funny, though, where they just don't play him and he sits there on the bench in uniform.
That's a Riley flex. Even though Jimmy's getting paid, we good. Give him some money.
Or an ugly opt-in. If there is no trade by February 6, Butler then regains a degree of leverage with the right to invoke his $52.4 million player option next season. In addition to potentially clogging the Heat payroll, Butler also could again limit trades with threats to either not extend or to act out in a similar fashion to what currently has been at play. Option 5 or 6, wherever we're at, an ugly opt-out. If Butler opts out, there still could be a need to work with the Heat on a sign-and-trade agreement that not only could get Butler the type of contract he seeks, but also net the Heat potential draft capital as well as trade exceptions. As with any case of the Heat working on a Butler offseason deal, either with the opt-in or opt-out, timing will be a factor, with a lack of haste potentially limiting Heat follow-up offseason moves. And then the final option, according to Ira Winderman, is sustained misery. Butler isn't traded by February 6, opts into his Heat salary next season because either a lack of outside money or outside interest, and then turns these past few weeks of acting out into months and months and months of acting out.
As a Heat fan, I want to trade. As a radio guy.
Host.
And
I know.
I like what did Hattie say? Sustained
misery. As a content provider, I would take 18 months of sustained misery. As a Heat fan, I want this thing to be done with. Yes. We do, speaking of the Heat, have a 4-pack of tickets for the Heat Magic game on Monday. We will give them away during today's show. Just keep listening. Let's get a quick look at the headlines. We have Clay Ferrero joining us today to talk Heat. Gino Toretta joining us today to talk conference championship games and more. Headlines brought to you by Doral Kia. At Doral Kia, choose from over 500 new Kia models in inventory, like the Sportage, Sorento, and Telluride. And remember, when it comes to Kia, the great deals are at Doral Kia.
The Heat do play tonight, by the way. They're in Milwaukee. I was just told that Milwaukee is trying still to leave New Orleans. The plan was for them
really
to leave at
They're 2. Not home yet?
No, they are not home yet. Yeah, they're still trying to get in the air. So tough right now. There is a likelihood that the game tip-off time will be pushed back a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I did not realize they were still in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my Wemby game's on the way. Vive la France. Oh, Wemby. Terrible look. Terrible finger roll. He was like, I mean, dude wants to put up points in front of the home crowd. I get it. What was that, brother?
Foreshadowing for the show. Every 90 seconds. Oh.
It's on NBA TV, Solana. I don't know if you guys have that over there.
Yeah, Jimmy just put it up on the TVs right now. 2-2 in the first quarter. They're playing the Pacers twice.
In France?
Yeah.
Both in France?
Yeah.
I am from France.
Flying back tonight.
The NBA account posted a really funny like throwback video today in honor of this game. I don't know if any of you saw it. I'll get the audio, but it's Dwayne Wade and Michael Beasley when the Heat played in France back in, I think it was Beasley's rookie year.
I don't even remember them ever playing in France.
Yeah, or second year. And Dwayne Wade is trying to convince Michael Beasley like the importance of the Eiffel Tower. And then at the end, Beasley, again, like we're talking about Michael Beasley here. He's like, yeah, there's one just like it in Vegas.
That's a great answer.
Tip off is scheduled for 7:30.
Little
tonight.
Did we know that we'd look back one day on the Michael Beasley era with such admiration. It was such a better time. It was so easy.
Tip-off is scheduled for 7:30. It's a nationally televised game tonight, by the way, between the Miami Heat and the Milwaukee Bucks. So that means your only local coverage is right here on 560 WQAM.
All right.
The Panthers did not get back-to-back wins. They lost yesterday to the LA Kings 2-1. They were up in the third 1-0, and then they were outscored 2-0 in the third period. So they dropped the 28-18-3.
Which is kind of shockingly good.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I looked at the records today too, because I feel like the Panthers are in like this weird tailspin and they're 28-18. You know what I mean? Like
second in the Atlantic Division, 3 points back of the Maple Leafs, who they own anyways.
Like, I think they're fifth overall in the East, but I mean, yeah, it does. For whatever reason, it feels different.
I was going to say this the other day when we moved on from Cat Talk. I was in the airport and like reading subtitles on some hockey show, a hockey game was about to come on, and they're talking about the current game. And then one of the guys, a big old jaw black dude, his head's gigantic. Not PK Subban, it's the other black guy that covers hockey. And he was like, hey, y'all. Was it Weeks? He got a gigantic big Zach Thomas jaw. That's Weeks.
I think so.
And he stopped everybody and was like, do y'all know the Panthers still play hockey, right? Like, what are y'all talking about?
Right.
It was like, you know, it was almost like the Chiefs and we started forgot about them for the end of the season. Like, he was like, the Panthers still play hockey. I'm riding that out.
Well, they're back in action in a couple days. They're going to play another back-to-back set. They got the Sharks on Saturday, and then Sunday, the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I see that the Bucks flight is late. They're scheduled to arrive in Milwaukee at 5 p.m. for a 6:30 tip, Central Time.
Correct. Oh,
no way.
There's no chance, way. Right?
No. And they've been sitting in the airport, sitting on the runway all day. Yeah, I might take the heat with the point. We get some points.
There's a flight tracker that's attached to this as well.
Yeah, well, the latest is that, you know, tip-off might be delayed, as I mentioned, but who knows, right? Like, if they're not even able to get up, or if the flight has to be redirected because of the weather, still a very strong possibility that the game is postponed.
How long's a flight from New Orleans to Milwaukee?
2.5-3 hours, right?
I gotta be,
2025? Like, that should be 20 minutes at this point. Like, what are we doing here with air travel?
Did you see that SpaceX thing?
I don't know.
Which thing?
There was some, they're like, you can get in a space shuttle and fly to France in 20 minutes because they go up into the, out of the atmosphere and come back down.
Oh, so there'll be no sonic booms. That's why you can't have these transatlantic flights faster than the speed of sound. It limits it because there's just constant sonic booms, and it bothers Earthlings, for lack of a better term. Why they stopped with the Concorde. Really? You know, the Concorde only flew overseas because of the sonic booms. You'd never have a Concorde flying from New York to L.A. because it would just be... It would be five big booms.
Oh, goodness.
every few seconds. And so that's why it was always over the ocean. And they've never been able to overcome that issue.
But what do you mean constant booms?
Sonic booms. So when you break the speed of sound, which is what these supersonic flights are,
right,
it creates a sonic boom. You don't know what a sonic boom is?
Yeah,
loud noise.
When you hear the jets fly over and you hear the vroom.
No, you don't hear a sonic boom because there's no jets flying over that are breaking the speed of sound.
Yeah. Well, then
like
I guess
a sonic boom sounds like bombs are going off constantly.
Huh.
Not yeah.
You're talking about like a flight that's just taking off? You don't hear that when a flight's in the air.
Yeah.
I don't know. I was at the Air and Sea show. And, I mean, a jet just flew right by us. And then, like, 30 seconds later, you hear the jet sound. I imagine he was going faster than
right,
the speed of sound.
Right, but those are fighter jets.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, fighter jets, yeah.
Yeah. All right, so we're on the same page here. Like, I don't know what you guys are questioning me for.
I'm not questioning you. You didn't seem to understand why there's no supersonic flights.
Yeah, I just
like,
did.
The technology is there. The Concorde exists. The technology is there. You could, if they flew the Concorde from New York to L.A., you could be there in less than an hour.
Mm.
But they can't do it over land. It's that disruptive.
Crazy.
That SpaceX thing was like, it was
that
New
makes
York.
Sense. You go high enough, then you're out of the atmosphere, so you don't hear the sonic boom.
New York to L.A. in like 22 minutes. New York to France in 26 minutes. I read it somewhere. My wife showed it to me.
But you know what they should do is put all the garbage on one of these flights, dump it into a volcano. We don't have to worry about the dumps anymore. A lot of people don't even understand the enormity of the ocean.
Put all the garbage in a damn volcano.
All right. Anything else, Alana? I want to have time with Gino.
Your weather... From the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, call them 866-954-MORE, youraccidentattorneys.com, free consultations 24/7. Another gloomy day, man. It feels like we're in England.
And this is terrible. Where are we? England? We're in Seattle all of a sudden? I mean, we didn't sign up for this.
Yeah.
I almost turned my heat on last night.
Well, let's not get silly.
Yeah, okay, soft.
I don't even know if it works. My heat's never been turned on.
Wemby scored yet?
Oh, he just pulled up from the logo. Oh, he made it, too. Oh.
Did he? Wow. I'm so far behind you because I'm streaming it.
It's like a sonic boom.
So I got my first three?
Yeah, you did. Man, he literally pulled
up. Here he is pulling up. Bang! Boom! 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 All right, anything else, Solana?
That is your weather.
All right, Gino Toretta is going to join us in the next segment. He joins us on Thursdays.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
The wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, we're going to talk with Gino Toretta on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, the Heisman Trophy winner. He joins us on Thursdays. Gino is the ambassador for Evening's Delight, South Florida's source for all your outdoor kitchen, grilling, and tailgate needs. We've got a full line of grills, smokers, and more. Evening's Delight has two locations in Pinecrest and Davie. We're going to talk about this later on, but the Saturday before the big game, which is February 8th, we're going to do an event. Gino's going to actually be standing behind the grill at Evening's Delight. Anyone can stop by and try his food. And what I'm told, because I'm going down and Solana's going there as well. Now, Crowder's still going to be in New Orleans, but I'm told Solana's going to be firing up some churrasco behind his own grill. Is this true, Solana?
Listen, brother, if there's a grill and I'm there, then I'm throwing something down. All right, I'm not.
Gino, when
I don't
he drops
watch.
A listen, brother, you know it's serious. did you quake in your boots when you heard the listen, brother?
No, I'm excited. Maybe he's gonna make something that's edible.
All right, well, we'll find out. I'll tell everybody more about the event. If Crowder was there, he'd be. What would you be fired? What's your like Churrasco? I'm guessing, Solana, that's your go-to grilling item, Churrasco.
Yeah, like flank steak, flat meat, Churrasco as well, for sure.
What's your
go-to? If you're going by choice, you're going to say flap steak or flank steak. I mean, I love a flank steak, but man, like pull out a filet or a ribeye or something. You got to buy some better meat.
Hey, I know. First of all, I know. Look, you guys are bougie. I realize that. Hawk asked me what my typical cut would be on any given day. That's my typical cut.
No, he said what's your go-to.
That is my go-to.
Elevate your
game. Not everybody won a Heisman and lives in the Heisman house rent free. The go-to, you have to take budget into accountability here. Toretta.
No rent free. It rent rent free. That was back when I was in college. It was rent free.
If you're grilling against someone and their answer is flat meat, you're going to win.
It's not That's where Solana flat. Lost me. That's where Solana lost
it's
me
not,
by saying flat meat.
It's not flat. It's flap. It's a cut of steak. Flap, flap. With a P. Gotcha. Flap or flank. Basillo.
Oh, the stuff they grind up for hot dogs.
If you'd have said hanger steak, then you would know what you're doing.
No, but everybody knows what Churrasco is. Churrasco's delicious. I would order Churrasco. I will judge. This is going to happen at Evening's Delight on Saturday, February 8th. And it's the Evening's Delight in Pinecrest. What are you going to make, Gino? What are you grilling?
I have been requested for the spicy New York strips. So that means I got to put some advance notice in and get them marinated at least 24 hours in advance.
Can't you pull over somewhere? Gino's in a car. We're literally watching him drive. Can't you pull into a parking spot or something?
All right. Okay, I'm parked. What's the difference?
It's still uncomfortable. Because I was getting car sick. I was getting nauseous the way you're driving.
And he shifts gears aggressively, doesn't he?
He's like, you're driving an 18-wheeler?
I could have given you a Channing and say, I'll be right back and show up like 3 hours later.
Hey, fair point. Fair point. All right, a couple of things I want to talk about. First of all, college football season ended Monday night. Ohio State wins the national championship. In totality, did you like the 12-team playoff? You cool with how everything ended up? And then Notre Dame obviously was the loser. UM plays them week one next season. What's your prediction?
I think that it was great. The 12-team playoff was great. I think I would expand it either to 14 or 16 and get rid of the conference championship games because I thought that was just something that there was too much. You know, teams don't want to play in the conference championship game. If they lose, then they might get knocked out of the 12-team playoff. So I think if there's a way that they could add teams and then use the conference quote unquote championship game weekends for the revenue lost, maybe something along those lines. But, and then the seeding I thought was, you know, I mean, Oregon goes undefeated. They go in number one, and then their first opponent is somebody they've already beaten by one during the regular season, Ohio State, that, you know, that's not exactly, if you're the top seed in the NFL, you're not playing the best record, regular season record game. So I think that maybe it changed there. But other than that, the other thing I thought of in the championship game was they're up by eight with a minute to go. And I was like, damn, the number's 8-5. How did Vegas know? And Ohio State kicked a field goal to win by 11 with a minute to go. And I was just like shaking my head on that one.
And, Gino, in that game, though, I love Marcus Freeman. I think he's a great coach. He's going to get NFL offers, if not this year already, next year. Like, he's the future of coaching. They were too damn conservative in the first half. That first drive when they ran the ball nine times in a row, whatever it was, and then the whole second quarter, like, out routes, and then they see him start pushing the ball down the field, and they come back in the fourth to make it a game. I think they messed up by being that conservative and not letting Riley Leonard be Riley Leonard.
Well, let's be honest. I mean, Penn State had a more talented team than Notre Dame. Had their quarterback not had the worst game of his career, Notre Dame wouldn't have been in the game. So I think he's probably more of looking at it game plan wise is our only chance was to kind of be conservative. Now, after the first drive, I was like, damn, they just ran the ball right down Ohio State's throat and there was no stopping them. I think you're right. At some point, you have to, you know, give a shot to the wide receivers and that. And I mean, you know, the last play to at the end of the game where they one-on-one Smith and he's like, okay, well, if we sell out to stop the run, I mean, that's fine. If I saw blitz coverage and I was a quarterback, hell, even at 54 years old, and I got one-on-one on a best receiver in college football and he's going to run a go route, I'm like, hell, I'll take my chances there. I don't know. I thought there were things that yeah, they could have done, but there was, I think there was a significant talent, overall talent gap between Ohio State and Notre Dame. Not to say that Notre Dame doesn't have great players. They do have some great individual players, but I thought in totality, Ohio State was a much more talented team as they played that game.
Let me shift over to the NFL. So you have the two conference championship games on Sunday. It's Eagles and Washington, the early game. Jaden Daniels has been phenomenal, not just throughout the season, but through the postseason. Do you have a lean on what you think is going to happen in that game?
Well, since I was dead wrong and said the Rams would have had the best chance of winning and Redskins had no chance. Now, I don't follow NFL as much. I didn't realize half their defense was injured going into the game. I probably wouldn't have picked the Lions. I think that, you know, it was disappointing that for Baltimore to come back like they did. I mean, I was really hoping for overtime. I mean, for what, you know, Lamar did and all those guys. And then, you know, just a drop ball and they didn't get to OT. I guess you'd have to go with Kansas City because they're the guys. But, you know, is Buffalo hot enough to go on the road and do it? Is this kind of their year? And you're right. Jaden Daniels he's been fun to watch. I think that I would not be surprised if Washington was able to upset Philly. Now, will they be able to? But I would be less surprised at that than the Chiefs losing at home.
Hey, you mentioned Lamar. How do you deal as a quarterback with like a Mark Andrews situation where, I mean, you have a fumble that obviously was a terrible time to fumble something, but the 2-point conversion at the end to tie the game, I mean, he just flat out drops it. As a quarterback, do you ever get angry? Lamar Jackson looked a little angry at the end of the game and probably deservedly so because it goes on his resume. Have you ever gotten like angry at a receiver for dropping something?
You know, you get disappointed, I think. I mean, but angry, I mean, that's his go-to guy for as long as he's been in the league. I think to me it's probably disappointing, but it's more of disappointment in the totality of that they didn't tie the game. I mean, is he angry at Andrews for dropping the ball? I don't think so. And I think that, you know, listen, Lamar probably made some bad plays during that game. He fumbled a snap. I mean, really, if you look at the whole game, Baltimore kind of beat themselves. They let, you know, there was opportunities that they gave to Buffalo. So I don't think he's angry at Andrews. I think he's angry at, damn, we didn't make enough plays to continue on and hopefully get to the Super Bowl. But, you know, you just, you know, pat the guy on the butt and say, hey, next time make the
you
play.
You never punched a receiver in the face. You never went to a receiver and punched him in the face.
I'm trying to think if I ever – no. Sometimes you throw – I mean, I think I had one game, I had 14 consecutive balls, and a guy dropped a perfect pass, and I didn't – you know, I didn't know. I mean, you can't get pissed. I mean, because they're the same guys that are going to make the next play. Because, you know, listen, they don't – you know, I would say that they don't come back into the huddle pissed when you throw a bad pass, but they do come back into the huddle pissed that you threw a bad pass or you didn't throw to them. So, I don't know. Usually the quarterback doesn't get too bent out of shape over it.
Yeah, Gino, I don't know. Cause you're a nice guy because I remember. I'll tell you mine. It was Jason Allen. When we drafted Jason Allen, fourth quarter, we're up by 6. I know exactly who the team's about to attack, and he'd give up a touchdown every time. And I would look at him funny every single week. If he talked in the meeting, if he smiled, I get mad at him. Stop smiling in the meetings, man. Stop playing around. Stop eating.
Great teammate.
Channing, I'm not going to say that it didn't happen, that maybe like the next day in practice as we're preparing for the next week, I didn't tell the coach, hey, keep him out of the goddamn huddle.
We need second shift yeah, up.
It's kind of maybe it's a passive aggressive quarterback, I guess. You kind of just like on the QT, you can't let them know that you've lost all confidence, but you've lost all confidence.
So let me talk about this for a second. The Saturday before the big game, we're going to have this event at Evening's Delight. We're going to do a little tailgate, and I'm going to be there. I'm going to drive all the way down to Pinecrest. That's like flying from New Orleans to Milwaukee. I'm going to drive all the way down to Pinecrest. And Solana's going to be there. Gino Toretta's going to be there. Crowder, like I said, will be in New Orleans. But they're going to be working the grills. Anyone can stop by. We're going to be there from noon till 3. Anyone can stop by, grab some free food, and meet Gino and talk a little football and get ready for the big game. And thanks to LaMelo's Meat Market for providing the wings and the churrasco. And our friend Brian Bishop, Bishop's Pitmaster Barbecue, is bringing the magic with samples of award-winning pulled pork and barbecued ribs, maybe even a brisket or two. And so we're going to have a little tailgate to kick off big game weekend. Come on out for some food and fun, and you can chop it up with Gino and me and Solana and get a little inspiration for your own grill setup as well. So that'll be in Pinecrest at the Evening's Delight on Saturday, February 8th. Do you think, Gino, that you're a better grill master than Solana?
Oh, I don't think there's any question with his response on what his go-to is. I mean, I wouldn't even.
It almost insulted you. You almost want to withdraw his invitation?
No. He can come eat, but I might find somebody else to man that miniature grill we were going to let him to try to make some flap meat or whatever he was making.
Solana, you find this legitimately insulting, right? Because you have been grilling since birth. This is something the Solana family takes seriously.
It's not just that. Like, it's embedded in my DNA. In Uruguay, my father was taught how to grill. His father's father taught him how to grill, and that has all been bestowed on my brother and I to carry that lineage on. And the fact that because you two bozos don't know what flap meat is or flank meat is, which is the hind quarter part of the cow, Gino, which happens to be one of the best quality cuts of meat you could find, does not mean that I don't know how to grill. Coming from a Heisman Trophy winner, and if you would like to donate some fillets, Gino, by all means, be my guest, please.
First off, I grew up in a butcher shop and know how to cut meat there, Francis. So let's start with that of what an actual cut of meat is. So you know how to grill, but the first choice is, what are you going to grill? That's what I would say. It was a poor choice if you're saying your go-to. I know what flank steak is. I said I like flank steak. It wouldn't be my first choice.
Doesn't sound like you do.
Hey, what's your go-to on an actual grill? So that's what I would say.
Okay.
And last time I checked, when I went to Capital Grill.
Oh, we lost Gino or Solana cut him off. It's one of the two.
I think,
Jimmy, check Solana's fingers. Did he cut Gino off there?
He did
Dirty
not.
Trick, Solana.
Dirty Solana. Trick. From the Ice Age, the Solanas have been cooking flat meat.
But it was funny because Solana had a very good retort. We've been grilling. We grew up in Uruguay, and it's been passed on. And Gino had a better retort. I grew up in a butcher shop.
Francis.
Solana hung up on you, Gino. Sorry.
What happened? You're streaming. Solana hung up on work.
You. Solana hung up on you. He was angry with what you were saying. You were making us all seasick with what you're doing to the phone in the car there. Are you upside down? Are you rolling your car? Did you drive off a cliff? What's going on?
I can't hear now.
I can't hear a thing.
We got to go anyway. It doesn't matter. We're out of time. We love you, Gino. We'll talk to you next week. Cut him off again, Solana.
Yeah, there we go.
All right, Saturday. You can see it's going to get heated. I would put up Saturday, February 8th against Tyson Paul for entertainment. I'm not kidding you. You got the old heads. You got the young up-and-comer. And feathers will fly.
what you cooking with, Solana? Newspaper?
Oh, okay. We've all seen how you start a fire. Old ass foot, okay? So...
Saturday, February 8th, the day before the big game, will be at Evening's Delight in Pinecrest. Me, Gino, Solana. Gino and Solana are going to be grilling. You can come by and get the free food. You just stop by Evening's Delight in Pinecrest. We're going to be there from noon till 3. I'm actually going to bring a pack of Ballpark Franks and see if someone will grill it for me, because I don't want any of the crap both of them are talking about. I just want a hot dog. The day before the big game, we're getting all cutesy with the this and the that. Just somebody fire up a dog for me. Oh yeah.
Oh, you got to taste the flat meat.
I don't need to get fancy. All right, there's Gino Toretta. He'll join us again next week, and we'll talk more about the event when it's coming up.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Yeah, how much for one rib?
Hawk and Crowder.